Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Your attention is directed to a word of God found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, where in chapter 15, beginning at verse 21, we read as follows. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, Send her away, for she is shouting out after us. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. This is the text. In the name of Christ, my dear Christian friends, last year when the modern descendants of Abraham invaded in an undeclared war Lebanon, the very geographical area that is mentioned in our text became under severe attack and great devastation was visited upon the cities of Tyre and Sidon. Thousands of people, many of them innocent, were killed in this unprovoked and undeclared war by the state of Israel. That action, we might say, surely would discredit any interpretation which would claim that in Isaiah 53, the Hebrew nation is a suffering servant of Yahweh. We have in our text another descendant of Abraham, who is the true suffering servant of Isaiah 53, not destroying and killing people, but helping them. And it is to this 8-verse pericope that I draw your attention this morning. An event which, according to some synoptic chronologists, took place in the spring of the year 29 AD. It was one of the few withdrawals in the public ministry of our Lord. It is a true historical event, although I suspect that critical scholars who do not believe in the miraculous, who do not believe in the supernatural, would of course reject this as being more fiction than truth, because here we are face to face with one of those instances in the Gospels where we have demon possession recorded and that devils actually took possession of human persons and people and tortured them. And that among the great miracles of our Lord was a driving out of these demons and the freeing of individuals who had been under their control. This is a very meaningful and pregnant pericope, because we might say that here we see how a pagan woman defeats and has the victory over Christ. Even though it is so brief, yet there are a number of very important lessons that you and I can take from this account, this historical account, the life of our Lord. And it is to these practical implications that I especially would like to draw your attention this morning. We see, first of all, that true faith may sometimes be found where it might not have been expected. Son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Now that was spoken by a heathen, by a Canaanite woman, by a woman who came out of an area where the fertility cult had been in evidence for centuries. This prayer of hers would certainly have been very appropriate in Bethlehem, in Bethany, Bethphage, and other places. But to think here, in a heathen land, we have such a remarkable prayer addressed to Jesus, which therefore teaches us that true faith may be not a matter of place and geography, but a matter of grace. A person could be living in the house of a prophet like Gehazi, and yet be completely worldly and not in a state of grace. On the other hand, you could live in an area of superstition, like the maid of Naaman did, and yet she was a witness for the true God and acted as a missionary. And so we would be surprised, I imagine, if we went to various parts of the world where we would think that there are no Christians, and yet we would get the surprise of our lives to find that there are people there who have genuine faith in Christ. I suppose we could attribute that to the blessings of worldwide radio and also the efforts of linguists who are translating the Bible into many different languages. So it's a matter of God's grace and not the place which determines, you might say, true faith. We see also from this very comforting lesson that affliction sometimes proves a blessing to a person's soul. I think we will all agree that this Canaanite woman had a big problem. It must have been a terrible burden for her to have this beloved daughter of hers constantly being misused and being maltreated by an evil spirit. How she longed for her daughter to be freed of this terrible and horrendous situation. And yet, if that had not been the case, she might never have found Jesus. She would never have been brought to him and been able to come face to face with the person who was the savior of her life. And so it is very important that we realize that sometimes God may send afflictions in our lives, and they may be blessings in disguise. Very often when we do have misfortune and when we do have trials and tribulations, we grumble, and yet it may be that God is sending us a message when we are put upon a sick bed. These very often will have the tendency to free us from our obsession of the world. They will very often help us to get back to the Bible, to reading the Bible, to not taking the things which are present seriously in preference to those things which are not seen, but nevertheless are eternal. Health is a wonderful gift of God. However, sickness may be even better if it leads and brings us to Christ. Trials and tribulation bring us down to our knees, so that we have to realize that ultimately we're always completely dependent upon God. Wealth, with which there is nothing wrong, may be one of God's blessings, and yet wealth could be our destruction, like it was for the rich man in the gospel whose barns were full, and yet he wasn't at all concerned about his soul. And so when trials and tribulations do come in our lives, let us cling to the words of St. Paul that ultimately all things must work together for good to them that love God. Furthermore, as we look at these eight meaningful verses, we see that Christ's people are often less gracious and compassionate than Christ himself. Here was a woman who desperately was in need of help for her daughter. And what are we told about Christ's disciples? They said to him, "Send her away, for she is shouting after us." Maybe they thought that persons living in the area of Tyre and Sidon were really not entitled to the Lord's services and to the Lord's help. And sometimes we too can nourish a spirit wherein we are not willing to share the gospel with all people. We're sort of prejudicial against certain races and against certain individuals, and we are less hospitable, we are less kindly to them than our Savior himself would be, who said, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially unto those of the household of faith." It reminds us of the treatment which St. Paul got after he had become converted on the road to Damascus. He went to Jerusalem, and we're told that the church in Jerusalem was suspicious of him, not believing that he really had become a true disciple of our Lord. Today we're living in a terrible world in which we have over 4 billion people, in which we have millions of people who are suffering from starvation, millions of people who are downtrodden, millions of people who are in need, and we get constant appeals for all kinds of help by World Vision and other organizations. Our own church has a program for world relief, and so many appeals come to us that ultimately we become callous to them. And I think this is one thing that we all have to guard against, that we don't show less compassion and have less sympathy for the downtrodden of mankind, physically and spiritually, than our Savior himself did. And finally, in looking at this pericope, we see that great encouragement is given to us to persevere in prayer, both for ourselves and for other people. This story of the Syrophoenician woman certainly shows us something and makes a very important contribution to what we might call the theology of prayer. Sometimes we become discouraged in praying. We feel that our prayers are not being answered. We pray for the same thing over and over and nothing happens. But look at this woman as an example to be imitated. When she asked Jesus for help, first of all, he completely ignored her. He acted as if she hadn't spoken. But we're told she was persistent, and so she said, "Please, Lord, help me." And then Jesus answered her and said, "I am only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, "I have nothing to do with you. You're a Gentile. I have no help for you." And yet, she was not deferred in her petitioning. She continued, and she was importunate, and she said, "Yes, Lord, you can still help us." And then when she persists, he says, "It is not me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." So if there ever should have been a woman who should have said, "Well, I've had it, there's no use in praying, he doesn't want to help me," it would have been this Canaanite woman. And yet we're told she grasped on the word dog. And Jesus was not speaking of the wild dogs that were running in the streets, but of the household canines. Even they were given crumbs from the table by the children. And so she says, "At least, Lord, give me the crumbs." And after our Savior heard those remarks, he then was conquered by this woman and said, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt." So we should certainly learn to be persistent in our prayers, and also to be persistent in praying for other people. We very often have family problems. We have children who have gone astray. We have family difficulties, and therefore we should continue and be persistent in our prayers also relative to these, seeing here that if we do persist and if we do continue, it ultimately, maybe to our surprise, that which we are asking for, God will give to us. And so, this has been a wonderful text that we've looked at. May God grant that we will look upon our afflictions as opportunities for growth. May we be gracious and kind to those who are less fortunate. May we be encouraged to pray not only for ourselves, but also for others. And above all, may He grant us that faith, that great faith that this woman had. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.